Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among whom God favors. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord God, you are gracious and merciful. As you lowered your glory over the shepherds, and as your spirit overshadowed Mary's womb, give birth to a spirit of praise in our hearts that we may know the depths of the mystery of this story. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I was watching the children, I thought about this. You may have thought this before. Over the next 6-7 days, all over the world, churches in many places and in many civic organizations will also tell this story, and we do it every year. There must be something to it. Don't you think? There must be something to it. There's something inside of it. Why do we come back year after year and let the story hit us again? Or maybe not, because sometimes your Christmases kind of roll by. But we do it. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and I want to reflect today about the word and the meaning of mystery. Paul says of the final Advent, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." I want to speak it this way this morning, of the Advent of Christ. "Behold, I speak to you today of a mystery, of which you and every part of creation is a participant." This mystery is seen and heard and rejoiced in by those who have ears to see, or ears to hear, I should say, and eyes to see. The unique, and I think that this is important, singular response to this story is praise, exaltation, and wonder, whether we fully get it or not. Here's my point this morning. It's actually a point I'm going to carry over into Christmas Eve. But here's the point. The mystery of God is to be praised in order to be seen. The mystery of God must be praised in order to be seen. And today, I just want to reflect on praise and a Christmas Eve about what we see. But it's not like a novel mystery or a suspense movie or story that once the secret is known, you go, "What a great story!" and praise the story because you know the secret. This is actually a story that holds a secret that, in my understanding, best is understood like a series of Chinese boxes or Russian dolls. You keep going from one level to another. You come back from year to year, and you see one facet that goes deeper into the next. It is a mystery that is unending. And in Luke 2:14, we hear, "Glory to God in the highest. Highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." Or in the old King James Version, it reads, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It seems as if the liturgy of heaven must spill over. Eternity finally had to burst. It was too big to contain itself, and glory had to shed forth on human beings. This angel's prayer is praise. We've been talking about the call to Sabbath in this Advent period. Here is a prayer of praise and places us right at the center of what it means to look into a mystery. Praise is the highest and most holy use of language itself. It's a Sabbath on using our own words for our own desires and our own wishes. It is a Sabbath to sink into the rhythm of praise and exaltation. And throughout the ages, the church, every year, has done this with these words of praise. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Praise for the unveiling of a mystery of beauty and the blessing that it is. Praise is the profound act of the church in concert with heaven now. Praise is the profound act of the church in concert with heaven now. The paradox of this holy mystery is revealed in the very structure of the parallelism of the poetry itself, which I will mention in a minute. This praise is really an answer to a prayer. Back in Psalm 80, verse 1, the prayer of the Hebrews was this: "You who are enthroned upon the cherubim," or the angels, "shine forth." The prayer was always, "God, shine forth. Shine forth, show forth." And here, the shepherds in the field, it shines forth. Mystery is praised on earth through the church. Soon after the church came into being, Christians began to sing this hymn, Gloria in Excelsis, and use this phrase in the evening vespers of the hymn, Fos Hilarion, O gladdening light. It is one of the most oldest and most ancient hymns that was originally written in Koine Greek. It is one of the earliest Christian hymns recorded outside of the Bible that is sung today and will be sung tonight at many Vespers services around the world. O gracious, or O gladdening light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, thou art worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices. O Son of God, O giver of life, be glorified throughout all worlds. See, this is praise. This is who we are. Regardless of the roles that you and I have in life, regardless of the tasks that we undertake as a part of our projects in life, our lives will always find their highest sense and meaning in our calling to praise God on earth as in heaven. Whether we get to church or not on a Sunday morning, whether we are at home because we cannot be here, we are still one in this very act, graced with the light of God. We are regenerated spirits in fleshly bodies who are bound in a covenant community to praise every Sunday and most in these holy days of Advent the Most High, who is also the Most Near. What about this mystery? It is a mystery of a new birth. When the angel choir appears, the shepherds are sore afraid in the old King James, as I learned it growing up. And I always wondered, sitting in church, listening to that story, why were they so hurt? Why were they sore? I didn't know what sore meant. Sore meant they were cut to the core. Something of a life-threatening fear by the presence of a powerful, unknown sound, force, or light can bring. Margaret Barker, in her book, Christmas, the Original Story, writes this. She says, whenever the angels of heaven begin to sing, get ready, because the coming of a new creation is at hand. She references Job 38:7, where it says, at the beginning of creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This new song of God's loving, merciful light coming is not only something to happen in the past. It is interwoven eternally with Christ's birth, but also of our own by the Spirit. It was not without reason Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born through my birth. Barker makes the point, and I find her thoughts very interesting, because she says about Luke, especially Luke 2, that if you look carefully and closely at the text, that what you see is most of the activity that's going on in Luke 1 and 2 has a temple setting. It's in the temple or near the temple and with temple themes. She makes this point and alludes to this to the events surrounding Jesus' birth. She says this: since the royal child, and follow this, if you know your temple understanding of the Holy of Holies, since the royal child was born in the Holy of Holies, he would have emerged into the world through the temple veil. And so Luke described how the heavens opened at that point where all God's angels worshiped the firstborn as he came into the world. Meaning, when the angels came down and descended and began to sing, the movement of God out from the Holy of Holies into earth, human flesh, had begun and continues. It's a birth announcement. When you listen to the story, when you listen to Liam read this story, and this, the meaning of this story, there is something deeply mysterious about it if you give some thought to it and ponder it like Mary did and collect your thoughts around it. Something was being born into the world. And the mystery of this is that this breakthrough through the veil of the temple, the veil of creation, is also an opportunity and a deep meaning of the breaking through of the veil of our own hearts, that we can now sing forth, the heavens are open, God is in descent, God enters human flesh and blood through a real flesh and blood birth. Now this is what is so mysterious. When you think about it, most of the time we do not put together the notion of God and human flesh. God is spirit. God is big. God is far away. God is greater than we are. And yet, and this is the mystery where it begins to unfold, is that what we're talking about is a union of worlds, of apparent opposites to us. Look at the way in which the structure of the short prayer of praise is. Glory to the highest, or to God. But then on earth, peace among all people, goodwill, or God's will to all, or God's favor. The mystery is revealed, is that there is a union and a coming together of God and human beings, of the uncreated God with the created living persons who are on earth. The highest of heavens is linked inextricably with earth. And glory, which we often think of great, luminous, high, bright, is connected with peace and favor among you and me. God is not far away. God is not just far near. God is both far away and near. And yet I think this story causes us to ask a question. How much of our lives do we spend separating these two things, thinking that's the religious thing to do, that's the spiritual thing to do? Why is it only at Christmas time we come anywhere close to glimpsing the radical depth of the divine height that descends to the lowest elements of blood and birth and hay and milk and animals and everything else that go along with animals? When you look at some of the pictures, the icons, the Christmas icons, you will notice the ox is there and the ass or the donkey is there. Do you know why they're there? They just thought it would be good to have the ox and the donkey hanging around, thinking this would be a good thing for them to be in the picture, right? Isaiah says the ox and the ass know their maker. Why, O Israel, do you not? Right? Significant why they're there at the manger in those pictures. When we think about God descending to the lowest, could this be why that Jesus speaks so often of finding the greatest kingdom in the smallest of seeds? The gospel as a small pearl, but worthy of a great price. What would be different if I saw that these opposites that we often separate, heaven and earth, God and flesh, we often separate, keeping them apart. What would be different about the way I live this year? The way I pray? The way I see the sky? The way I look at sunshine? The way I experience and take a look on suffering and poverty and human need when lived through the lens of uniting of what I usually break apart? How would my life be different if I saw that God and human flesh were inextricably linked and yet not confused? It's a question, and it begs to be answered. I pray that we all be shepherds, that we all be out there with our sheep on Christmas Eve, that we all see that we don't need a lot to know this mystery. You already have everything you need to know this mystery. You don't need a book. They didn't have a book. They weren't sitting out there reading their Bibles, I don't think. You have to have a spirit that is poor. You must have a poverty of spirit. It seems that those who are poor in spirit and rich in wonder are the ones who can receive and join in the praise. And so that would mean that if to praise God is to ever deepen and know the mystery, that the first step would to be, Lord, give me a receptivity of spirit to praising you that will lead me more deeply into understanding this. I wonder if it's this. The unveiling of a mystery so intimate and near, and yet so far utterly beyond telling, can only be received by the poor in spirit, for they're only the ones who can truly understand paradox. Because paradox is something you don't understand. It is two truths placed together, interwoven without confusion, that we cannot see the beginning and end of. Glory to God in the highest is the illumination of a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yet it is heard and known where the heart's deepest longing and painful losses create a cavity or a cave in one's heart to receive Christ, the self-emptying eternal Son of God. So here's the paradox to play with. Play with this week. That's okay. That's praise. It's part of praise. Here's the paradox. Or many of them. The maker of the wood of the manger in which he lies is also the maker of the cross of the wood on which he will die. The one who is the source of all words will learn how to speak from Mary's lips. This is the praise of a very high and lowly mercy. And when you begin to see it, it can break your heart open in places you have never expected. That God would descend to that depth and that low place means that the lowest place you may find yourself this Christmas may be right where Jesus wants to meet you. And that those who are not lowly in heart will not see him, even though they think they do. Scary, isn't it? Or a blessing. The Apostle Paul says this, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are the trustees of something that is rich and meaningful. You and me. You believe that? You and me. We are trustees of a mystery that is Advent. So here's what I'd like you to do. Here's my offer to you, or my thought for where to go, practically speaking, with this to this week. What if you take this passage, or this prayer, right? This prayer of praise. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, among whom God favors. And every morning you say that as you begin your day. And at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, say it again. And if you really want to do it in the middle of the day, set your iPhone, you know, do it then. But what if we did that this week to see what we would then see on Christmas Eve? Because if praise is the way into seeing a mystery more deeply, then will you ever see it if you don't do it? Let's pray. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all of goodwill. Lord, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you who take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You who take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. For you alone are holy. You alone are the Lord. You alone, O Jesus Christ, are most high. Together with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father, we pray. Amen.